Okay, we continue on with the questions. One is from a man of Mitra. He says, the story of Rahu and Ketu, is it the main reason for the sun and the moon eclipse? Please explain how. I don't remember. You have to look at the Bhagavatam Mohinimurti pastime as well as the fifth canto cosmology, and it's explained there. But I do remember that Rahu is responsible for the phases of the moon. He says, I hope not. But anyway, whether you hope not, that's the way it happens. So better start hoping that you accept that that is the reality. And his last question is that according to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the living entities are my fragmental parts and parcels, and another way that he is his marginal potency. I'm a little confused. There's no need to be confused. Parts and parcel, Krishna, what's the nature of the jiva? What's his substance? He's made up of tatashta shakti, marginal potency. And what is the size of that marginal potency? That he's very little. He is amsa of Krishna. So if you keep these two things in mind, then it should be quite easy to understand what Krishna is saying. And then the Bhakta Laszlo asks about whether in Hungarian we're going to be translating 11th, 12th canto. And the answer is yes. We only have up to the 10th canto to date. And Lalita Saki asks about, says that she wants to know about the spiritual body. She can't relate to the spirit soul being 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair. How can someone enjoy if they're that small? As far as I understand, 1/10,000th the size of the tip of the hair is the regressed form of the soul. I guess you could take the example that if you leave something out in the sun, something that could be quite substantial in size, it'll shrink up to being very, very small when all the water and all the substance and everything else in it evaporates. So, similarly, the spiritual body of the living entity, when in contact with the material energy and particularly material identification, it sort of shrivels up to that size, or it has that type of dimension. And when it once again regains its spiritual identity, then it resumes its original spiritual size, which is sort of middle size. Middle size means our size right now. There's the big size, which is like Mahavishnu size, and there's the small size, which is atomic in size, which is this 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, and there's also the middle size. So, but having said that, this is all a material conception that something 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair can't have a form and can't enjoy. There's no such restriction on the spiritual level, and if that was the size of the spiritual body, it still wouldn't have any problem. This type of size limitation is something that's problematic from the conditioned point of view, but not from the spiritual point of view. For instance, I'm worshipping Radha Damodar, and they're pretty small. And not far away is Radha Gokulananda, who's much bigger. So does it make a difference to Krishna whether he happens to be, I don't know, 8 inches tall, or 1 meter tall, or 2 meters tall, or it's not a consideration. How does it work? It works through the agency of Krishna's internal potency, These things are not relevant considerations. They're relevant considerations where we see things from, but not from the spiritual point of view. And now Marcus Perez asks an interesting question about scriptural references to Sika. I would appreciate seeing some scriptural references to Sika. By scripture, I mean Shruti or Smriti. I don't remember any. It's certainly our Vaishnav tradition, and not just Gaudiya Vaishnavs, but other Vaishnavs and different religious groups have different emblems or different types of ways of wearing their hair, clothing, and other things that sort of visibly distinguish them immediately from, visibly identify them as who they are, and also distinguish them from other religious groups. So, for instance, also our tilak and so on. But whether this is a something that has a detailed description in those types of scriptures that we refer to, like Upanishads or so on, I haven't seen, but would be interested to know if there was. And Mahatma Vidura says that based on Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, the definition of pure faith is that one doesn't have any desire for liberation. Well, any abhilashita shunyam. But how can, in other words, to be freed from any condition of suffering, but one just accepts Krishna's arrangement and just is very tolerant. Tamstitikshashu. So how does we explain Draupadi Devi's praying to Krishna when she's humiliated, disrobed, or tempted to be disrobed? And the answer is that Draupadi's primary concern is not for her own condition, but rather that if Krishna didn't come and protect her, then what would, how would lesser Vaishnavas or people think about what is the benefit of being a Vaishnava? What is the benefit of being dependent on Krishna if Krishna doesn't protect his devotees? The other is that her husbands were already so humiliated by the time that this had come around that it would have been too much for them to bear. So she didn't want to see them humiliated any further. And these are the main reasons why Draupadi prayed to Krishna, called out to Krishna to deliver her. And the same type of syndrome can also be found in, for instance, when the cowherd boys in Vrindavan, when some danger befalls them, some demon comes, and they pray to Krishna for protection. They're praying to Krishna for protection because if they die, then they won't be able to serve Krishna. And so how will he be able to continue if he's not taken care of? So although we see references like this in Shastra to resemble the appeals of ordinary people, but that's because the motivation behind it is not necessarily always fully elaborated in the verses. And he's looking for a copy of Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani desperately. Thank you. Well, if you go on the website, perhaps They are available. He says that they're no longer in print, although just recently we delivered there. There are some special copies, which are gold leaf copies, but they're more expensive. So if you write to Bhaktadevi for those, she may be able to make them available. And Lando Linda talks about, can you take a course in regressive reincarnation hypnosis, and doesn't Krishna want us to know about our past lives? No, Krishna doesn't want us to know about our past lives. It's not important. What we need to know about our past lives, he already told us in Bhagavad Gita, Tata Dehantara Praptir. So there it is, that you have a future life and you have a past life. And in Bhagavatam, we understand about the principle. And regressive hypnosis will not be able to actually give accurate information because it's a speculative, empiric process trying to enter into the realm of something which is really only accessible to those who are realized personalities, purified and have trikalagya, really have vision into past, present and future. And it takes a little more than hypnosis to get there. It requires real austerity, learning, study and empowerment, which is not really available in this Kali Yuga. And our main issue is not our past lives. Our main issue is our future life. Krishna wants us to work on our on the future, not on the past. And this is a reoccurring theme that comes up amongst devotees as well. Anyway, it's certainly not something that's a necessary aspect of Krishna consciousness. And Chako Mishi, he asks, when some offensive thought comes into my mind, but I sort of throw it out, am I still in the realm of an offender or not? No. The thoughts come to the mind is just an unfortunate part of being a conditioned soul. It's what we do with our thoughts that we're responsible for. And if we remove thoughts, bad thoughts from our mind, then we're free from any type of particular reaction. If we don't, then certainly those bad thoughts will fester and will become more critical. And as one becomes more critical, then one will say critical things and do critical things, and that will lead to being offensive. But otherwise, doing away with bad thoughts and instead thinking positively of Vaishnavas, that is the proper course of action for devotees. And that's it for today. Hare Krishna.